Pete and Kimber.
Mix 94.5.
You spent some time living in Hollywood?
Yeah, let's bear in mind this was about 20 years ago.
Okay.
So all of these stories are quite old.
Is it when Hollywood was relevant?
It was when Hollywood was at its peak, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I got there just in its heyday before it went to the dogs.
How long were you living in Hollywood?
About 3 years.
That's a long time, really,
isn't
it?
Yes, 3 years is a good chunk of time.
What we found interesting is that we have all these headlines that things that have happened to you in your life while you've been in Hollywood, while you've been in the industry, and they're quite big headlines. And so I thought, let's read them out and then we can ask more questions if we need to. Yeah,
this
what do you reckon?
Yes, please. This is wild. Absolutely wild.
This is not all of them either.
Isn't it?
No.
Okay.
I told you, I crammed a lot in those few years.
Let's kick this off then. First headline, I once scolded Quentin Tarantino for trying to shake my hand after he'd just finished a wee and not washed them.
Yeah, that happened.
In a public bathroom, obviously.
No, it was at New Line Cinema. They had a Christmas party I'd gone to as a guest of another friend. Mm. I went to the bathroom, stood at the urinal next to Tarantino and realised, oh, it's Tarantino. This is kind of cool. And then he left without washing his hands. The next thing, I was at the bar. We started talking. We're next to each other at the bar. He went to shake my hand and introduce himself, and I refused because I just told him, I just saw you pee and not wash them.
Which, you said that to him?
Yeah.
But
which kind of broke the ice.
You?
It was great. It was great. He went, that's fine. And then he asked about my accent. We started talking about films, and then we went and sat and had a little chat for 10, 20 minutes, half an hour.
No kidding. Is that a moment where you kind of, like, would you have had a go? Did you say, oh, can I be, have you got anything coming up?
No, I think that's why I got into so many of these stories and scrapes. I've never cared about that stuff. I've never been, like, there's people I really respect and like, but I've never been kind of freaked out or
he doesn't
into fame and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, right.
And so I think because I've always approached things without caring about people's feelings or trying to big them up or be a fanboy, you get a very different reaction.
Yeah, of course.
And they've been at parties or private events or on work sites. So it's in a different environment than meeting someone in the street
Would you say that that's part of the reason that you once got high with Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on a sec. Wait a minute.
Yeah. How does one
I don't
get...
want this to be slandered. This is 20 years ago.
How does one get high with Joaquin Phoenix?
Do you want me to be specific?
Where were you?
We were at a party. It was actually the Vanity Fair party at the Oscars. And
which year?
Again, 99, 2000, 2001. Somewhere in there, I cannot recall. I think it would have been 2000 or 2001.
Okay.
So he was known, but he certainly wasn't the guy he is now.
Yeah.
So he was just sort of, I knew him from parenthood and stuff.
Who offered who the spliff?
No, he asked me if I had any.
Did he really?
He was with another actor, and for the life of me, I cannot remember who it was. So I don't want to say names and bring the wrong person in. But yeah, he just said to me, hey, have you got any ...
And you had some.
And I did, actually. And so we went off and a few of us just all got high at the Oscar party.
You've spoken to Mick Jagger on the phone.
Yep. That was kind of cool. That's a very distinct voice to hear on the phone as well.
He called you or?
No, I was working. Actually, that wasn't even Hollywood. That was here in Perth. I was working on The Graduate when The Graduate was here with Jerry Hall and obviously their exes. And we have, at the time, I assume they still are, our kids were the same age. And there was a point that the show was actually going to go on tour for a while. And we were discussing bringing our children. And me and Jerry were talking about organising nannies and this kind of stuff. And we were outside His Majesty's Theatre in robes having cigarettes. Because that was when it was okay to do that. And she got a phone call. And she just put it on speakerphone and let it down. And it was Mick Jagger just chatting about domestic life with Jerry Hall, about making plans for when she comes back and organizing kid-related stuff. And then for some reason she mentioned I was there and he just started going, hey, mate, how are you, mate? And he had a little chat on the phone, which was just super weird, just to be standing with his ex-wife.
I want to know what this childish argument with Orlando Bloom was.
This was a long time ago. This was around just before, I'd say, Lord of the Rings. So this was a long time ago.
Yeah. What was the argument?
The argument was about tattoos.
Over what?
Because we were talking about tattoos and it got into some argument. He was a friend of my friend. So we'd met a few times. They'd gone to school together, I think. And so we kind of knew each other enough to chat and hang out a bit. And we got in a big row. I don't know why it was that big a row. But it was about tattoos, being actors and having tattoos. And essentially that having a tattoo ruins, makes you too distinct, and when you're starting out, it's a lot of effort to cover them up and all this sort of stuff, and it can lose you jobs. My argument was, yes, but everything's distinct. Your nose, your eyes, your face. Like, you're either going to get a job or you don't, based on other factors. The tattoo's just a thing. And it just got into a big row.
We've got a list in front of us that are basically just headlines. Headlines that feature names that you've heard of before plenty of times. And we're just reading them out one by one and getting the goss on them. We said we'd start with this one. I once kissed Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
What
Tell
happened?
Us more.
Yeah, what happened there?
God, I feel such an idiot for these stories. It sounds like such a name dropping idiot. But okay.
That's the whole point.
Well, because this one... Subiaco Insider really didn't have the kind of punch that we were looking for.
Oh, you don't know the dark underbelly of this place. No, the Brad Pitt thing was purely just, I did it for the story ultimately. So I just could say to every girl I ever know, I've kissed Brad Pitt. So again, at a party, hanging out for a bit, all going nice, and everyone was sort of leaving. And a friend of mine who was female said, can I have a kiss before I go? I have to just kiss Brad Pitt while I'm here. And he went, yeah, sure. A little kiss. And I went, right, I'm doing the same. If I'm going, I'm not leaving without that story. He went, yeah, go for it. So a little pash.
Where'd you
Nothing
kiss
crazy.
On the mouth?
On the mouth. Yeah.
Open mouth?
No, not open mouth.
But just
bit of
like
kind
a
of like a lingering
bit of a wet
peck.
One.
Yeah. Was it good? Was it good enough?
I mean, it was fine.
It's more than I've kissed Brad Pitt. How about you?
And well.
131060, if you've kissed Brad Pitt more than that.
Both of us could have used a mint, put it that way.
Legit. Is the number's 131060 if you have, honestly.
okay. This is the next headline. I've sat on Elle Macpherson's lap and I've sat on Elton John's lap.
Yeah.
What are the circumstances that you are sitting on their laps?
Okay. This is sort of where a lot of these stories came from. So when I was first in LA, I'd probably been there less than a year, I'd say. Me and about three other friends just thought, how hard can it be to get into an Oscar party if we dress nice? We'll just see what happens. So we went, I knew where the venues were for Vanity Fair and InStyle magazine and all these things. So we dressed in a whole bunch of suits and ball gowns and stuff. And I worked out if you went round the building, past a barrier where no one was guarding, you could essentially walk all the way around and end up on the red carpet in the line of people going into the party. Literally, the other side of the barrier was just paparazzi and press. So it was very weird. So we managed to make it onto this red carpet. We stood there. And I'm seeing them checking tickets and things, thinking, okay, I guess I'm going to try and come up with some story that my agent must have left them on the book, or I don't know what's happened, let me in, or maybe I'll try, maybe this is as far as we get. It's a story anyway. And for whatever reason, it gets to us four, they just lift up the velvet rope, in you go, guys, close it behind us, start asking for tickets. To this day, I don't know why that happened. So I walked in, saw quite a busy party, but didn't recognize anyone, saw no familiar faces and thought, ah, I get this. This is just to fill it up. So for on TV, it all looks fancy and full.
Right.
But there's a real party hidden behind some other door back there somewhere.
So they just let you guys in because you were good looking. It was just...
wearing suits, making an effort,
yep.
Probably. And so just thought there's a secret party back there. The real parties, this is just publicity. That's fine. So went off to a booth, not really looking where I was going, sat down and bunched up a bit and half sat on Elle Macpherson on her lap. Making a joke of it, then she went, no, hop on. So I literally sat on her lap. And then when I looked around the rest of the booth, there was Liz Hurley, Elton John, and a bunch of other people. It was Elton John's birthday party that I had managed to get into.
Why?
Wow.
And I mean, to the point, it was an Oscar party, but he has a birthday party often traditionally with InStyle magazine for his birthday and the Oscars.
Did
and
you ask to Vanity sit Fair on party. Elton John's lap, or did Elton John ask
no,
you
well,
to sit on
No, well, that's why.
Lap.
Because I was then on Elle's lap, it became this thing where I just started sitting on everyone's lap in that booth, like as this running joke. And so I sat on Elton John's lap. Everyone in that booth, I sat on their laps.
Liz Hurley.
And it was so nice because Elton John had no idea who's there. I even thanked him for the invite, and he gave me a party bag when I left. He gave everyone a take... with thousands of dollars worth of stuff in
what
it.
What was in
amazing.
There? What was in the party bag?
Versace sunglasses, one-offs, or just lots of weird Calvin Klein stuff. Like it was just a goodie bag of lovely things.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy. So because of that, I met certain people then. And because you're in the same environment and there's less sort of, no one knows who I am, but they don't know I'm not important.
Yeah, yeah, of
and
course.
I had a fairly distinct look. I had kind of longer curly hair. It was very 90s. English accent, so people must have assumed in different ways, oh, maybe he's a producer or something from somewhere else, or I just don't know who he is. So, well, so everyone's quite nice, and so I met other people, and that's where a lot of the other stories then came.